The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Thursday to you. This is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. One of my favorite times every year is the Grace Evangelical Society's National Bible Conference. This is something that you can take part in. You can find out more about our National Bible Conference by going to our website, faithalone.org, and click on Events. So we're taking questions from listeners just like you. We got an interesting one in through email. Let me read it to you. Does God judge false teachers with physical illness or temporal consequences? What a great question. And it will, no doubt, lead to a very interesting discussion. Now, before we get to that discussion, I'd like to remind you, if you have questions, you can reach out to us through email. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's step aside and let Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar up to the mic. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. My name's Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Why are you laughing?
Sean.
I don't know.
We need to... Can we get a coach to tell us, you know, how to intro a show? And
it would be really good.
Exit a show so we're really professional. I guess that's what makes our show different. Well, here's a question from Les. And Les says... We want to know how much a case of Chosen to Serve would cost.
Less than you would think.
We give 40%.
We give the bookstore discount for anybody who
10 or more 10 copies, or more. You get 40% off the list price. Or you can just wait until the book is on sale, and usually it's on sale for way more than the 40%. But he has a question. He has a question about John Calvin. He says he learned that in John Calvin's adult life, he suffered from severe hemorrhoids, which reminded me of the Philistines that God struck with the same for taking the Ark of the Covenant in 1 Samuel 5. Did the Philistines get hemorrhoids?
Yeah, and then they put these golden hemorrhoids. They made some kind of statue of golden hemorrhoids.
What?
Yeah, and they put it on the back of the cart with the Ark of the Covenant. They put it in the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, man. What, did they have a church like Our Lady of Golden Hemorrhoids?
I don't know. This All was right. before I'm Preparation
gonna
H.
I'm going to have to read that. Yeah, okay. My question simply is this, Les says, is it wrong for me to surmise that Calvin was struck with hemorrhoids, as God did to the Philistines, possibly for his teaching on election and predestination? So I guess the question is, basically that's a question about temporal judgment and divine discipline and whether we can discern whether someone is suffering something because of specifically divine discipline.
And the answer would be, we don't know. For one thing, it's clear in Scripture that if we depart, let's say morally, from the way of righteousness, then God is going to bring judgment into our life. There's going to be lots of calamity and pain and suffering.
Is that something you see? Lots of people have just, you know, they go
right
through life and they have no problems and they're...
Well, but see, that's the...
You know what I mean? Like, we expect lightning bolts, but that's not how it works.
That's one of the questions you see. I mean, and Job has that question, and you find it in the wisdom literature, is people will lament the fact that sometimes the unrighteous live long lives. And sometimes the godly are cut off young.
Right.
But proverbially speaking, that means most of the time, that's what Proverbs are about, the way of righteousness extends the life and the way of wickedness shortens the life. Doesn't mean there aren't exceptions. The other point that I think there are no exceptions is if we're walking in the way of iniquity, we're reaping negative consequences in our life. Even if we look at it and we say, well, so-and-so is a famous movie star, and they make $100 million a year, and they have all these mistresses, and they've got all these houses and planes and boats and vacations everywhere, and it seems like they're very happy. I would say they're probably one of the most miserable people on the planet. I read something recently about, I guess it was Amy Weinstein, and she died. She was part of the 27 Club. At age 27, and there were a whole bunch of people like that, and they were all very famous, all very successful, all took their lives, and, you know, they're not taking their lives because they're so happy.
Sure, but, I mean, lots of Christians are depressed, too. Lots of Christians are low. Is that divine judgment? I mean,
No, here's what I'm saying. Well, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine, an acquaintance of mine from Dallas Seminary, a few years after we graduated, he was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
And when he was in the hospital facing his surgeries and chemo and all the treatments, and this was 40 years ago, he was praying, Lord, is there something in my life that I have overlooked where I'm walking in rebellion and I don't realize it? Mm-hmm. If there is, please show it to me.
Yeah.
If this is divine discipline.
Yeah.
And nothing came to mind, and so he went on with the assumption that this was not divine judgment. It was simply something God allowed in his life, and I think that's a good approach. But let's say my friend had been having an affair, and then he came down with cancer. It might be smart to go, you know what, Lord, regardless of whether this cancer is because of my affair or not, I'm repenting of the affair. And if you were embezzling money from your church,
sure,
you would turn yourself in, you would fall on their mercy and see if you could avoid jail time.
Sure.
But if you're in a situation, in John Calvin's case, if he came down with hemorrhoids, which lots of people have hemorrhoids, if he came down with hemorrhoids, he might think, well, is this some judgment from God?
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't for something minor like that. I would just think this is part of the human experience.
Yeah.
Besides, my view is we keep the account short with God anyway.
Yeah.
So we confess our sins as we're aware of them.
Sure.
Now, when it comes to doctrinal deviation, it's awful hard to know you're deviating doctrinally unless other people are helping you.
Well, yeah. Knowing if you're wrong on doctrine. Yeah. Getting sick and then tallying all your beliefs that you have and just figuring out, oh, this is the area where I'm getting it wrong and that's why I have COVID or something. I got the theophanies of God wrong. Got the timing of the Babylonian exile wrong. Boom! Lung cancer.
Hemorrhoids. No.
Toenail fungus. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I guess all I'm saying, Sean, is that I wouldn't get overly concerned if you experience hemorrhoids or toenail fungus or something like that. I wouldn't go, well, let's see, is there some sin in my life? If you miss that parking space you were hoping for, well,
divine discipline.
Divine discipline. People can
get flat tire.
You can get paranoid over everything, right?
You can
think everything is God's judgment. I don't tend to think that a flat tire is God's judgment or hemorrhoids or, you know, toenail fungus or whatever it is. I tend to think that's part of the human experience because of the sin, because of the fall.
Right. Now, there is teaching about divine judgment.
There is judgment.
That it exists.
Yes.
But how to identify it? Not so much information, other than like you drop dead right there as the preacher is pointing at you.
That would be
right.
Well, that happened
Ananias
in Acts chapter
Sapphira.
5. Yeah.
It's like, you're the one.
That,
boom.
That,
dead.
That would be
then
a clue.
Then that's divine judgment right there.
Right.
Paul getting beaten by sticks and stones and nearly to death. Not really divine judgment.
Right.
Timothy getting sick. I don't know.
I don't think so.
To drink wine for his stomach. Was that?
I don't think so.
I don't know. All right, here's a question from Miranda. She's asking, she heard Al Mohler talk about cremation, and she was curious about what our thoughts were about cremation from a faith alone perspective. And I guess some people think it's absolute ironclad that Christians need to be buried, and cremation is outside of the bounds for a Christian.
Well, you might look it up, Sean, but I think it's the last chapter of 1 Samuel. I think it's 1 Samuel 31. I think it's verses 11 to 13.
After the hemorrhoids chapter.
After the hemorrhoids. No, it's not after the hemorrhoids chapter. This is where King Saul dies and his son Jonathan and his other sons die in battle.
Yeah.
And they're cremated. Some very brave people come and claim the bodies, and they're cremated. Isn't that 1 Samuel 31, around 11 to 13? The reason I know is I saw this
email. Burn them
there,
verse 12, yeah.
And I wrote a blog on this. So by the time this comes out, there'll probably be a blog on our website on this. But
then they took their bones and buried them. That's right. 31, 1 Samuel 31, verse 12 says they burned the bodies. And then in verse 13, they took their bones and buried them. So you kind of have a little bit of both.
And so people wonder, why didn't they bury them? Why did they burn them and then just bury the bones? Well, there are a couple of explanations. Eugene Merrill, who taught Old Testament at Dallas Seminary for many years, in Dallas Seminary's Bible Knowledge Commentary, says the reason is because the bodies were mutilated. However, there's no indication that the bodies of the sons were mutilated, and there's even no indication that the body of King Saul was mutilated, other than cutting off his head. Is that mutilation? I guess so. I mean, if you cut off my head. But it's not like they were cutting figures into his body or something. They cut off his head. So that is a possible explanation. I saw another explanation online that said that they did this for sanitary reasons, that evidently they were possibly carrying diseases, and so they burned them.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, this does occur in Scripture, and nowhere in this passage or anywhere else in this Old or New Testament are we told this is wrong.
Yeah.
So I would say cremation is not wrong. Now, there is an interesting blog. She cites, what is it, Al Mohler?
Mm-hmm.
And I read his blog, and he even talked about Archbishop Tutu, the ballet archbishop. Did you get that, John? That's a good one.
I got that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think he's South African, but in any regard,
yeah, Desmond Tutu.
Desmond Tutu. He passed recently, and he underwent aquamation. And you know what that is, Sean?
No, what is aquamation?
Aquamation is like cremation, but they use water and I think high temperatures and certain alkaline chemicals to cause the body to break down, and they end up with something that you put in an urn, just like if you were cremated, but there's no fire.
I want a Viking burial.
Put
me on a canoe or a ship and just...
It's a pyre, right? And then they shoot an arrow
into it. Shoot a burning arrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do that for you, Sean.
Make sure that Zane or Daphne are old enough to aim.
Don't hit the tree.
But biblically speaking, I once heard R.B. Thiem, I believe it was R.B. Thiem, saying he didn't care what you did with his body, because that's not him. He'll be with the Lord in heaven, and then he'll be getting a new body. And so he was indifferent about, you know, whether you buried him or cremated him or what.
I agree with that position. The Scriptures don't forbid it. I do think the Scriptures, the common practice in Scripture is burial, so
yeah.
It would seem to me that should be our normal practice. But if someone prefers it, both of my parents wanted to be cremated. We honored their wishes. It seems to me there's nothing sinful or wrong about being cremated.
It's just there's no command for or against.
Right.
All right, well, there you have it. Miranda and Les, thanks for your questions, and you know where to send them, radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Well, on tomorrow's episode of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about whether it's okay to be baptized if you're living with your girlfriend or boyfriend. So, join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.